película de two colleagues who are here from local government, youth development forum. They wanted just to have a discussion with us as sculptor to for them to make some submission that we could consider as we move on around the country to our over 31. Given the fact that local economic development is driven by COPSA, broadly speaking, local government, then to see what else we can do working together with them to address some of the Asia challenges. I think they will assist us to introduce themselves and then we'll give them a platform then to brief us about what is their proposal, how they see themselves working and close with them. And after that, we'll then have engagement with them. Then we'll allow them to leave if they do want to leave. And then we continue to our work again, clause by clause, dealing with the bill. I think it's titled the Customary Initiation Bill. We had a long discussion yesterday in terms of the public participation, public views. I think it was very useful anyway, Dr. Vesta, to consider the views of our communities. And again, thank you, Angela, for doing that, just putting it in organizing. Because we have been accused as Parliament that we go all out, we listen to people, but we don't consider their proposals. I think we have considered all their proposals. And it's very helpful that we do that. We are going to go back to a discussion then, immediately after the presentation by local government and youth development forum. And hopefully we'll have sufficient time, I think, to look for the law systematically. To ensure that we finalize the bill, our hope was that we're going to finalize the bill tomorrow about the test. Because we have agreed on issues. One issue, of course, as you said, the chiefs, they will look at how do we accommodate the year issues. We know they raised the question of children acts. We are not dealing with children here. Children acts will be considered as crucial. We must ensure that we try to accommodate the views expressed by our traditional leaders on the question of years. We hope the state law advisor is still coming to be with us in the meeting. We know that the young people are the most affected by unemployment in our country. And engaging with them politically was a privilege to really have an engagement that is well organized, very systematic, and see what we can do. I know that Angel is still a youth.
Not
yet. Yeah, about 40. Oh, okay. I thought you were still a youth.
No,
I am.
Yeah?
I am.
Then add that one.
Only a broken phrase.
Okay. Let us invite your colleagues and they will introduce yourself and make the presentation. And then again, thank you and you are welcome.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Thapelo Maliki. I'm the chairperson of the Local Government Youth Development Forum. I'm with my colleague from the forum who is heading the SMA in Africa. I will give him an opportunity to introduce himself.
Very good morning, and thank you very much, Chairman, for the opportunity. I'm Sia Wonga, Magari. Representing an organization called SNM in Africa, also a member of the local government youth development program.
Thank you very much. Chair, I firstly have to acknowledge and be grateful for this opportunity to engage in the community. This is a fairly new partnership of various structures that do youth development work in the local government space. including, of course, our faces that are governed by traditional leaders. We are a multi-stakeholder platform. The platform is a partnership of various institutions with a view to advance and promote what we call the integrated approach to youth development. So, as a result, within the partnership, we have public institutions as well as non-government. And to give a background, based on the document that has been shared quickly, I will not go through every line for the interest of time. But what we are saying is that it is painful that after 24 years, we still battle to institutionalize. We still battle to institutionalize youth development, particularly in the local government space. So, but
the parliament is busy. We are trying to reorganize ourselves because the legal team must assist us to assist in schedule advisor. You will come out of the carry at this time. I thought to disorganize you for a moment. Parliamentary dialogue can be very disorganized. Very disorganized. But we can't continue to be making without lawyers at this parliament. Because you guys will take us to court. Because we are very careful about drama. Is and wants to use the big issue, then we can't take a risk. Long enough as it was.
There is no situation,
That's a privilege of being surrounded by legal team. Because I'll be consulting them about other issues outside Parliament. Because I'm facing many legal challenges. Thank you very much for this. We should then proceed. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was just giving a background of the Local Government and Development Forum to say it's a multi-stakeholder partnership of both state and non-state entities. Why did we start this? This is a new partnership. It was launched last year. The question is why, out of all the institutions that exist, did we see a need to do this? There's a painful reality in municipalities that youth development is absent. When will you go to a municipality and say, I'm looking for a youth development officer, if there's any, or a coordinator? Half of the time, you won't find him because he's going to the car wash to watch the car of a mayor, and we call that youth development. Half of the time, he's not there, he's going to pick up kids of the mayor. We call that youth development. Half of the time, he's going to do the errand, and it's an insult to young people. We cannot continue like that any longer. We are now saying through this partnership we need to institutionalize youth development in municipalities. It is absent as well. And these are issues that I am sure in this house they are not new to us. We all know that. Now, we are battling to implement programs. For instance, one of the partners is NYDA in this forum. NYDA is calling municipality to say we are trying to bring a program to a municipality. Who do we speak to? And when they try to get hold of a person called youth development officer, because it's running the errand, the NYDA now is unable to bring a program into a particular municipality. So then we said, through the integrated youth development strategy, let's see a way of integrating the approach, because the only time when we see young people active with energy is when they are engaging in service delivery process, precisely because there is no youth development institution within the municipality. Now they are there, unemployed, they've got energy, they've got time. So they then redirected to tires and all that, and now our country is smelling of a smoke from corner to corner. This is an energy that we should be utilizing to build the country through various forms of activities. So the background of this forum is to then say all these stakeholders that we have brought together that we can find in paragraph 3 on page 2. And the list is long, but those are the founding partners of the partnership. We're talking about the South African local government. We've got the COCTA as a department, we've got the National Youth Development Agency, we've got the South African Youth Chamber of Commerce, we've got the LGCITA, we've got MISA, we've got Africa Leadership Development Institute, the South African Youth Council, which we know that is the one that pushes the representation of young people at various levels. We also have the Disabled Youth South Africa in the partnership, and the list goes on and on. But mainly in the main, these are the founding partners. And we are saying these institutions are not new, they've been there, but doing things in silos. NYDA having their own thing, saying we have our own KPIs, we don't want anyone to interrupt us. This institution saying we also have our own, we want to do, we run our own show. But when you go down, even SSA, when they do their own surveys, there's no impact on the ground, because people are doing these things to tick the box. Others are doing it for public relations exercise. And we are saying enough is enough, because it's about impact now. If we don't do that, the country is going to explode. Next year in West, we will be complaining about the youth apathy, voter apathy, forgetting that for the past 4 years, people have been sitting at home with diplomas, certificates, degrees, including master's degree, which is a disaster, that we allow young people with master's degree to sit at home, and we expect the economy to flourish. So surely we don't know what we want to achieve. If you allow a master's degree to sit at home and expect the economy to flourish, then there's a problem. So the partnership is all about institutionalizing youth development in municipalities, and also met with the National House of Traditional Leaders last month to say, we really want to see youth development institutionalized within that structure. When we go to Royal Bafokeng or Ulundi anywhere, we must meet people who are employed to do youth development in a house of traditional leaders. Youth development is everybody's business if we want South Africa to try to flourish and prosper and compete globally. The vision, I'm not going to read it, is just one line there, because it speaks to what the forum is all about. The forum is nothing else but a partnership to ensure that new development exists and young people are indeed developed. The mission is ensuring that all the partners, whatever they do, they must ensure that their efforts are contributing to the mission of ensuring that young people do take charge in leading their own development. We can't treat young people as patients. We want to do everything for them. That's why even some of the schemes that exist in the country, we are going to challenge them to say, if a scheme is not meant to make a young person self-sustainable, let's discontinue it and engage on schemes and programs that make young people self-sustainable. We must not treat them as patients. They are not. I'll quickly run a chair to the issue of the inspiration to say we are not going to down to the fact that there's a lot of information that we draw from the first democratic leader, and we are saying this message must be shared with young people to say, if you can't draw inspiration from there, where else can you draw inspiration? And then we bring all other leaders to say, young people must begin to know that as much as inspiration is there, but you don't feel it, then we must ensure that communication messages run around so that they get inspired. We are, of course, within the inspiration guided by the five thematic areas of the National Youth Policy 2020. Chair, there was a disgrace when the National Youth Policy was reviewed 2 years ago, when we went to 9 provinces. Young people were saying, we did not even know that there was a National Youth Policy. That was just a disgrace. And this one is also expiring in 2020. And we are saying, when you look at 2015 up to now, there's nothing much to measure in terms of impact. That's why we said it's because of the silo operation. People are pushing KPIs, they want to tick boxes, while the country is burning. I'm not sure what we expect in the next 5 years. So it's about time that we focus on impact, nothing else. We launched this forum last year at what was called the Local Government Youth Development Conference. It was the first conference. It was not a conference of young people, Jack. It was a conference of youth practitioners, because the partnership is about youth development practice. All institutions that are tasked and mandated to do youth development work at different levels. We know that the LGC has got a mandate to ensure that our young people are skilled, to ensure that they participate in the economy. So that was what the conference was really all about. I'll try and move faster. The strategic focus is derived from the resolutions of that conference that I'm referring to. And it was very clear from the conference that the practitioners, and we called all municipalities, we also extended the invitation to the houses that we could reach of the traditional leaders and the representation. So now, it was very clear that everyone is looking for an environment where youth development is an institution, from municipality, local, district, metro, in provinces. When you walk into a COCTA office, currently the first stage of our press is that when you go to the COCTA office, both province and national, you'll have one person who deals with youth, women, people with disability, and what. So that is the absence of youth development. That person's mandate is to think of young people in June. After June, they are focusing on women, August, and so that ad hoc approach is not developing young people. A youth development work is 365 days. Otherwise, this country is forever going to be on fire, and we can't ignore that. So we are saying it has to be institutionalized. We want to see friends of mayor being moved from the office of the mayor, having a youth development institution under the structure of the municipal manager, so that even if the mayor is gone, that youth development institution remains and continues to do well. Currently, we have friends of mayors who run errands like I said. We don't have youth development in municipalities, yet we expect to see stability in municipalities. Then we are worried and tired of this service delivery protest that are run and organized by these young people who have got nothing to do. So this strategic focus is derived from all those resolutions of the conference, including issues of ensuring that we actually professionalize youth work. Youth work is not a free-for-all. Like any other profession, if you want to work in the finance department, you must have studies. So even youth work, we have courses now. People must not be driven there because we don't know where to put them. We want to see these jobs being advertised. A person must come with youth development qualification and be hired proper, because this is a sector. And we have qualifications up to PhD in youth development. So people must know that youth development is not wearing down people that you no longer want in the system. It's a sector that is expected, and people must be qualified to do youth development work. I'll remind the House about a sad situation, that if you undermine fasting, you'll run into a serious danger. In Gauteng, we took security guards who were not trained to deal with kids, and one guard molested 87 kids. Because that person was, in the first place, he was not supposed to be in that environment. He's not trained to be in an environment where kids spend a lot of their time. So that's the danger of dumping people, saying, no, this is a youth work, let's dump this one. a security guard molested 87 people, and we started crying foul, going to the media. Here we are saying this is a disgrace. It is our fault. We dump people in vulnerable areas where you need to be trained to be there. So even youth development is danger when you just dump people there, because this is a very critical sector. When you look at the statistics of South Africa in terms of where we are sitting and how our proximity to the time bomb as a nation. I will not read all of them, Chair. I just want to run through so that colleagues can add and then we are done. So in terms of our strategic role as a forum, we are not going to, as the forum, deliver any service or program. The partners are delivering programs. All we are saying is that those programs must have an impact. People must move away from ticking boxes. We must focus on impact. So our approach must be impact-based. And we are continuing to do advocacy. That's why we are here today. It's part of our advocacy work. We went to the National House of Traditional Leaders last month, and it was part of our advocacy work. And we will continue to meet various institutions, because that's what this forum is all about. We need to preach this gospel so that when this bomb explodes, some of you will remember that, yeah, they came one morning to bother us, we didn't take them serious, and that time it will be too late. Now, one of the things that we are going to focus on is capacity building. Because we say there's no institution of youth development in the country, we are saying once people are hired in this institution, we have institutions like the LGC, they need to release resources and we need to capacitate people. They must know what we mean by youth development. When you walk into a youth development office in the morning, you need to have a routine and you need to know why you must do some of the things. What do you want to achieve? You need to be guided. We have people in municipalities who have not seen the national youth policy, but his salary says he's paid because he's doing youth work. Those errands I referred to earlier on. So we say capacity building drive has to be there, and that's what we are talking to the LGC about, to say let's ensure that whoever is in a municipal office doing youth work is capacitated in terms of what youth development entails. The other issue is facilitation. This forum needs to facilitate partnerships between different institutions so that we can see that impact result that we are referring to. The key one is that South Africa is one country where we believe in miracles. We expect young people to be developed, but there is no investment when you look at money. We give, for instance, NYDA 400 million. We have been giving them 400 million for the past 5 years. Yet, VAT has gone up to 15%. Those issues, we ignore them, and a number of other things. Petrol went up for 10 times. But they have been giving 400 million annually. No increase, no nothing. And you look at other institutions. We are aware that SALGA came to present their annual report not so long ago. It's good that there are news of a clean audit, but I didn't hear any member of parliament here asking them, out of this budget for the past financial year, how much did you spend on youth development? So we are coming here to request that please hold these people accountable in terms of their spend on youth development, because we can't leave everything to magic that young people must be developed, but there are no resources being invested. People are coming to present clean audit, but when you look at where they spend money, nothing on youth development except one rally, catering and venue for the rally of June 16, and they take pictures, it goes to the annual report. We celebrated the youth day. We are tired of that. People must budget, 60% of budget from now on must be on youth development if we want to take this country forward. The aspect of research, we are going to focus much on that. That's why in the partnership, we are partnering with academic institutions, because we are saying there's a lot of research that needs to be done over and above what SSA is doing, zooming into the issues in the local government space and in the traditional area. The issue of monitoring and evaluation, we are working with DPME to say, let's develop a lot of tools that assist us to monitor and evaluate And we need to understand why people are talking youth every time they give speeches, but when they buzzer, that word disappears. So we need to understand the causes. Because as much as we all believe youth are a critical sector, it must be translated into budget when we see the government spending, because you know, a lot indeed is going into youth development. Except your mandatory issues of education, that is mandatory, but an institution, for instance, like SALGA, when they come here and present a clean audit, but they never spend a cent on youth development, that report we must call it a disaster, not a clean audit. Clean for you, when young people did not get a cent. The rest of the other staff, Chair, they elaborate more on the resolution, so I will not go deeper into that. I'm going to give my colleagues to make an input. And then Advocate Norita has just joined us. Africa Leadership Development Institute is one of our partners. We are now working with them to establish what we call the Local Government Youth Leadership Academy, because we can't develop leaders from nowhere. We need to have an institution that we resource, that produces leaders. When we say we want better counselors, they can't come from manna, from heaven. We need an institution that produces better counselors, better municipal manager, and all sorts of things that we complain about. We all know that we are battling to get clean audits in municipalities, because of simple thing of capacity. People don't have capacity to govern or to manage a municipality. Let me give to Sia to make his comment, and then Advocate Monita, then I will take the rules back to you, Chair, if you are.
Thank you very much for that presentation. You're very helpful for today also. Still very hard from Alexander for that match. It's only that they must see that he's no longer generally, all of us, I think, we still do a little bit because of power. Poverty speaking, generally, is a bigger issue. But the presentation is very helpful. We have engagement on this presentation. See about ARP based group based in Egypt.
No, thank you very much. No, it will be perhaps additional remark in terms of what my colleague has alluded to. I think you went to town in terms of the issue of the with the necessary passion that we have for youth development. And I think, as for the opening remarks, our engagement to the community to establish relations so that as we undertake the work that we are busy doing in the different provinces together with the partners that we spoke to, at least the community is not surprised, is aware of the existence of this particular structure, and knows the objectives that we seek to achieve. And obviously, my bias always related to issues of economic development, because that's the space that in the main I come from and represent. I think to you spoke earlier, Chair, about the need for local economic development, but particularly benefiting young people, because I mean governments at a broader level, supported by the NDP and other documents, speak to the fact that we need to increase the participation of young people, particularly when it comes to small, medium and micro enterprises. And that will be a target that by the year the expire of the NDP comes to an end, we must have reached a particular level. I think 60% of jobs must be created by the SME sector. And the reality is that there's a lot of work that should be taking place at the local government level, municipalities in the main, wherein we should be looking at low-level schools in terms of how do we get young people to participate in the economic activities that are taking place at that level, which speaks back to the issue of set aside. At the national level, government has spoken, I think a number of state of the nation addresses, different presidents have alluded to the fact that government needs to set aside about 30% of the economy that must be able to benefit youth-owned enterprises. Now, understanding that some of these structures report to the community, to what extent do you then hold them accountable for them to say that, as my colleague has spoken, how do they account for the fact that they have been able to implement that which has been pronounced on a number of occasions in terms of procurement and set aside for youth communities? There's also a question of a contentious question of land check. I mean, you know that there's a saying that the land is the economy and the economy is land, and there's not much that you can do if you don't have access to land. And the reality is that land is not found somewhere in the sky, it's located in municipalities. To what extent are municipalities proactive in assisting young people to gain access to the means of production, which is land, such that they are able to operate their businesses? And in no time, as the forum, will be convening a round table on the question of land, because there's also a limitation in terms of the understanding of the land that we're referring to. Because as much as we're referring to agricultural land, we're also speaking to land that is in the cities. Because as much as there's a population that's residing in the rural area, which needs to be supported for land to do issues of agriculture and so on, there's also a need for young people to access land in the cities and towns as well, because that's where businesses are also operated at a commercial level. So we'll be undertaking that particular roundtable to make sure that we engage stakeholders at the local government level, municipalities as well, to say, how do you plan to make land available to young people while the debate is raging on at a national level? Confused as it is, we do need to take some steps to make sure that we play our role at the local level, so that we avoid the situation that my colleague was referring to of an eruption of young people because of particular dissatisfaction. So we're saying our engagement with the community is such that when we undertake this work, I think there's synergy and there's knowledge of the existence of the structure, and that we're able to get the necessary support. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Sir. And I talk also, of course, you circulate your number to members. Advocate. You are very privileged in this meeting at Nyambos. We've got so many advocates here. Even the taller now is as far as and then about seven advocates in this small room like this, that's a privilege that we have. I can say anything today, I've been
thank you, Chair, and the honourable members. Indulgence for coming late, and also in absentia, I'll also need for indulgence for my director, Dr. Konde, who's struggling with parking. However, I'll appreciate this opportunity that we've been given to articulate what local government youth leadership academy is all about. Probably the question within members is the fact that there are so many leadership academies in this country. What is so special in particular with this leadership academy that the forum decided to identify as the lead for the local government youth? I am not going to touch into who we are because it is in our documentation. I will dip directly to the core issue. When our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, launched the Yes Initiative, he indicated that young people in this country are the ones that are mostly grappling with misery and dignity of unemployment. And what that says is that the focus, gone are those days that we are now focusing on older people. Now we need to focus on young people. How do we prepare young people to take over and effectively, I'm using the word effectively because I've chosen it. Our chairperson of the forum indicated that when there is procurement, if it's about tents, if it's about catering, it's given to young people. That is not meaningful participation into our economy. We want young people to participate effectively in our economy. Ours, when we dissect the radical economic freedom, we talk about liberation of the mind, empowerment, and intuitive intelligence. Currently, the statistics are that unemployed youth stands at 63.5. The sad part is that 33% of those are thriving. Now, these are people that the government, the parents, the community spend money and effort in order to equip them to be able to participate in the economy. But unfortunately, they are unable to participate in the economy. So we are saying, as our roadmap, this is a responsibility of the entire community. It's not a responsibility of a specific segment of the community of South Africa. Hence, we are coming here to table and say, we are here as the academy. We are coming with a new breed of empowering our community. And how do we envisage to empower our community? We are saying we want to liberate the mind. How do we envisage liberating the mind? We are saying our youth are no longer prisoners of the past. They must have a mindset that says we are the architecture of our future. We are not victims, but we are victors. And they should not be conditioned, but they should be independent, motivated thinkers. They should be independent, innovative thinkers. They should create their own path. Now, how are we going to empower them? We are going to give them capacity by acquiring knowledge. Research has shown that graduates to the tune of 35%, they are sitting at home, unemployed. We want to move away from graduates, from whatever field that says we are looking for jobs. We want graduates that say, out of the years that we spend at school acquiring knowledge, we are there to create our own jobs. We want to create new ventures. We want to be business people. We want to impart our knowledge to other young, upcoming youth. We are sitting at CSRI, which is the innovation hub. Now, we've got access to all sorts of sciences and innovation and technology. Now, we're saying to the country, make use of this location, these resources that were put by our government to ensure that there's economic development. We therefore have an advantage in that aspect because we are in the innovation hub. We are also a multidisciplinary university because we partner with all universities according to the needs that we have. Check it out, health water.
Oh, no, man. Yeah, but not July for this month. There's no water in Cape Town. Water is free at least now.
Thank you, Chair. Now we come to the intuitive intelligence. Now intuitive intelligence is wisdom. How do do we then develop wisdom? We said we are a developmental and leadership academy. The kind of leadership that we want to impact is developmental and collaborative leadership. How do we think that we are going to impact the breed of youth that will be coming from our institute? It would be different in this sense. We are going to provide intellectual capacity whilst we are giving on-the-job experience. But whilst we are giving on-the-job experience, we are also giving leadership skills. Because the world now, you cannot be employable, or you cannot run your own venture or your own business without you having leadership skills. We're not talking about leadership that focuses on me. We are talking about leadership that is collaborative, where you are able to engage at any level and to be able to also absorb other skills from other people so that you can be competitive. Not that you are the know-all. You should be able to experience other knowledge from other avenues and be able to integrate in order for you to develop. How do we then help sustainable economy and development? As we are breeding the youth, they will be having on-the-job training. Whatever technical skills that they have acquired, they will also experiment how to do what is necessary. In that way, by the time they finish their course, they would have been capacitated from both angles. And we will be working with the fetus because we've identified that there is also a skill that is not tempered into within the South African context. Even though the fetus are there, but they're not doing what they are supposed to be doing. They are there and they are not even known, you know, in the rural areas where I'm coming from. When you talk about the CETA, they ask you, what is the CETA? The only CETA that they know is the information technology CETA. But there are various CETAs that are there to capacitate the diverse range of skills that are within the youth. Let's take now the local government sphere, where we believe that it's the core phase of service delivery. It needs all the skills. We have a shortage of technical skills within that field. Now we are saying the breed that is already there, that knows the ropes, we will be feeding them with students for on the go training. We will not only be feeding these students from a practical or a classroom perspective, but we will also use technology to mentor. As I said, we are a multidisciplinary institute that has partnered with university, which is our strength. Now we've got best in the academia that could be used by this breed of youth. At any flexible given time, they can use technology to interact with the professor wherever they are faced with challenges. They can go and log in and talk to their various mentors who are in the academia, who are actually experts in those fields, in order for them to acquire more knowledge where they lack the know-how or where they need the clarity. Now, how is this going to impact into the broader country? We will have a secular economy, there will be social cohesion and there will be environmental development and environmental protection. Our LED strategies, which are emanating from the IDPs, will now be properly informed. Not only properly be informed, but also they will be implementable. Because you sometimes find in municipalities, they have these nice IDPs. But when it comes to time of implementation, they would say, project so-and-so, we've abandoned it because we realize that it's not going to be sustainable, or we realize that the impact analysis that we got, it was not the right one. So in those areas, we will be capacitating municipalities, and we will, through our youth that we'll be producing, enabling them to provide the necessary skills and help municipalities. Now, how do they benefit? They will create new ventures, they will be SMEs, they can also tap into the YES program, and they will then have meaningful participation in the economy. I thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Well, when I remember the things they want to pose one or two questions. How to?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think we appreciate that the youth of this country, the future of this country, have decided to stand up to fill the gap. Indeed, I think in terms of your presentation, you are very correct. That there is a gap. You know, that's the gap. And if you are not nurturing these young people, we might find ourselves in the future having many challenges. But I've got a question here. Maybe clarity. How do you interact with the rural, you know, youth? Because up here in your presentation, even the advocate talk about academic people and so on. But of many, and you were mentioned, you are very correct, that in terms of stats, the percentage of unemployment is the youth. But I think we must find the youth, where the youth is, the rural areas, no, urban areas and so on. Because my research, my understanding, most of them are in rural areas. But in terms of your presentation, we are seemingly based on, on the urban areas. Now, how also in terms of your strategic focus, how do you intend to interact with the youth information in different tertiary institutions? We have many youth in most of the tertiary institutions. How do you intend to deal with those youth so that when they complete their courses, it's either LLB or whatever, you know, they are able, you know, to participate, you know, in the development of the economy of our country. Last is, Chair, I think My view, it's a good initiative. That should not be a once-off. That should be ongoing engagement, so that at least we are having a clear program. Because other people, they criticize you that you are taking charge and so on, particularly those youth that are affiliated to political parties. I think that is why I'm saying that it should be an ongoing engagement until all the people, you know, they think to understand. And you are very correct that most of the youth we have experienced or we've seen that in the office of the mayor, you know, at the municipality, you know, we can't see progress. Sometimes perhaps the municipality would create a budget within his budget to have the car wash, for example. The car wash that I know, but I will not disclose that. You know, the initial car wash was to open job opportunities at the same time, you know, to make sure that the youth are participating in that local economy of that particular. You know what happened? Yeah, it's very painful. No, I won't tell the chair, yeah. Because I'm still a senior, I'm about to be a senior youth.
Let me allow the federal advisor will allow you also, precisely because you must get them to call. They can't advise the state not assisting the young people. Adults are advising us wrongly. You must arrest them for that reason. They're questioning court now.
We appreciate the information because it's an eye-open on a number of things that we have not also paid more attention to. We believe more on some of the structure that we knew, NYDA, but sometimes we don't see the gap that is there. You raise very pertinent issues, very good issues when you said that, you know, you sometimes find this desk of the youth for certain people to do their own thing, decide what is intended for. Therefore, takes me to a point to say, you know what, we will appreciate one day you come up with the research information and say, look, in this local government, this is what we are funding. In out of so many, we can give you the total number of the municipalities in the country, 200 and something, but these are the municipalities that got the youth desk that is operational. In this area, this is what we are doing in this area. That's why we come to a conclusion and say, out of the 70% of these municipalities that are there, which are all under the umbrella of SARDA, or one or two that are out, but they are not doing what we expected. No capacity building, no training, nothing. They attempt to be somebody, they attempt to do something else besides what you are doing. We'll appreciate that report because it will make us to focus. And then when we engage on these issues, we engage to facts, on factual issues and say, look, why decide? Maybe that's the reason why we have not asked your father. We've got about more than 5 entities. Your father, where is the youth there? We've got a clean audit, but what about this budget? We can't ask that because there's nothing informs us to ask for those questions. Basically, we need that. We need that research. And also, tell us in your vision. I know you prepared it just for the presentation for today. Tell us as well and say, look, as the advocate that touch on some of the issues, that how do you want to expand? How do you see it interpret? Because this thing really doesn't have to be dealt with the issue of the death of the youth. It must not be our departmental or entity issues. It must be a presidential desk that is driven from there. See it coordinated from that level. And how do we synchronize it up to that point, so that when we talk of it, of this thing, all of us were shooting to the same direction. Not that the education department was its own desk and they're doing their own thing, files are being controlling the entity, it is doing its own thing, the municipality at the ground level. I can see here, but also MISA, that's also reports to the same department. You know, to me, the attack here is the right to culture more than the other entity. You know, we must see how we synchronize this work. Even if we are our pilot, from the corporate side. But there are a lot of entities and departments that also need to play a meaningful role. So your presentation, maybe next time when you come in Malaysia, give us this. So that when we talk about this as members of parliament, we are talking about the informed decision and say, look, in terms of your project, your planning, this is your departmental planning, this is what we have put to us, but we don't see this, and then account for it. One, put it in your program so that we know that there's a standing program for that department. So that when we evaluate at the end of the day, if you were coming and say, hey, look, members, we have presented this. We ask you to ensure that this party forms part of the departmental budget and programs. It's not happening, and now here are the issues. So to me, I'm asking that information to be part of the program. It will assist us with that's the best chair that I just want to comment on it. We can't criticize it. It's a good program, chair, but just feel, take us through so that we feel to be part of it. So to participate fully as well, knowing what is the research information based on this program. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. I think one of my questions is that what has been your interaction with the National Youth Development Agency, considering that you are a parallel structure that needs to be institutionalized, and we having an existing policy of government with the National Youth Development Agency. How do we measure the two institutions and solve conflict? And as a point of departure for you to be institutionalized when there is a structure, for me, it's a great area. I would think that with every initiative and with every research that we have conducted so far, which is good by the way, we'll be measuring into the National Youth Development Agency that is already being funded. You must have that synchrony that you link yourself with it, not a parallel structure. I think having parallel structures create conflict in the end of it. They'll be not careful with it. And for me, totally a good initiative, and I want to know your funding model. So far, who is funding this institution?
Okay. Thank you very much. Advocate, yeah, one. Any points where you are commenting? When the first time you are coming here to introduce yourselves, we wouldn't go for bigger policy issues. Then you are going to read your documentation and have time again, and then to meet with you and tell you what our questions are.
Thank you, Chair, and let me thank the honourable members for the question, and I will give my colleagues to add. I'll start with the clarity on the parallel. The forum is not a parallel structure to NYDA. NYDA is part of, this is a bigger partnership. NYDA is here, SALGA, COCTA, in fact, those are what we refer to as founding partners. The reason why this partnership exists is to get rid of the silo operation, because the silo operation does not have impact results. It only gives you results that speaks to your KPI or the boxes that you want to achieve. So we're trying to move away from that, because the silo operation leads to wastage of resources, because you go to the same community but individual. This week, for instance, I'll make an example of taking parliament to the people. You go to Ekurhuleni, spend 1.5 million. Next week, NYDA engages the same community, spends their own. So at the end of the day, there's no impact except attendance registers and. So we are trying to say, if LGCTA wants to go to NISNA and interact or run a program for young people. They must not go this week and then next week NYDA comes. It's the same money from the same pocket, which is public pairs. It's a wastage. Why don't they do an integrated program? And they all come to NYSNA. If each of them were going to come for a day, they now come for a week. Today NYDA does their training, tomorrow is same venue, same audience, and. But when you look at the impact, it will be there because now it's no longer 1 day or 3 hours. It's a week-long program. And then in terms of resources, the other one pays only for venue, the other one pays for catering, and. Now we are able to save resources. So to an extent that this partnership is trying to make sure that these institutions do move away from there and focus only on impact. I'll make an example from one of the resolutions of the conference last year. We made it very clear to the NYDA last year that you must move away because you don't have money. It's the poorest agency of government. 400 million out of what others get. Others get billions. Now, on top of 400 million, they go and run offices in malls. We said last year, by 2020, we don't want to see NYDA office in any mall. They must move into municipal spaces. So that's the type of impact that we are making through a partnership. So we are not fighting them, we are telling them within the partnership, you don't have money, and you must behave like a poor person. Don't compete with other agencies of government that has got billions. And let me inform this house today that today, just in the past a month or so, NYDA launched 4 new offices in municipal spaces. So they are implementing that resolution. So that's the impact of this partnership. So, but there's no parallel structure. The second issue, the reason why we went and knocked at the door of the National House of Traditional Leaders is because we are aware that these partners within this partnership are focusing where there's a flight, you know, where they can fly in and fly out. I don't understand this cost-saving measure that people are talking about because it disadvantages young people. We are told now that Treasury is saying people must fly in and out, no accommodation, no nothing. So that language of Treasury is suicidal because it's saying to agencies of government they must do programs close to airports. So what does it say to young people in rural areas? Because these people are no longer allowed to sleep over. Because you need to drive far. Rural areas is far from the airport. So these are issues, and we have agreed that we are going to meet Treasury. We have a long list of issues that we must take up with Treasury on such. So interaction with young people in rural areas is hampered by various reasons. One such reason is that thing of people saying they are saving costs. People must just go in and out. So a person will organize a youth that is closer to the airport because it's not allowed to live over. Now, our reason for going to knock at the door of the traditional leaders is to make sure that agencies within this partnership focus their attention in those rural areas because it is also our concern. Because we are increasing the urban-rural migration. Now, at the end of the day, by the time you want young people in rural areas, they won't be there. And now we have programs that must take place. We must engage grannies, because young people are all in urban areas. So I don't know how the issue of land will succeed. If people who have energy and time to plow and do all these things are in urban areas, the land now is flooding with our grannies. So we are going to defeat ourselves very soon. By the time we say the land is coming back, there won't be anyone to work the land because of this urban rural migration, which is worrying us. So that is the reason why we have engaged the House, and indeed we are working on the MOU and all that, to ensure that programs do go to rural areas. Young people must not travel to reach programs. Programs must come to them. Indeed, on our strategic focus, we said one of our key areas is research. That's why we said we are not impressed that there's not much research done in the youth development space. We are just scratching the surface. You go to the Department of Health, you get a lot of desktop studies, even about issues that are very sensitive, on issues of drug abuse. You grab a report and you look at methodology, it's just desktop. And this is why anything that has got to do with youth, we are saying we have to pay too much attention, and people are saying it's expensive. And for as long as we are saying it's expensive, then we must expect nothing in the future. The last one that I would like to touch on is the funding model. The reason why we are here as well, to introduce the forum and its intentions, is to request this committee to assist us. We have partners that I mentioned here who are partners, but they don't budget for youth development. They come to your committee and report, and you are witnesses that in their report, they don't even spend at least 1 million. So that's why we are here. And I'm saying they are partners. We signed the partnership charter at the conference. But as we speak, they will tell me that DG said we can't spend a cent as much as we are partners. So we are in that dilemma. So the forum is not funded, but people expect miracles. Number two, we are 4 weeks away from the annual conference. We have to postpone this conference because the partners who are supposed to fund the conference have not finalized their commitment. And one of the reasons is that we are going to review progress made. Now they realize that they have not moved an inch. Now they are sabotaging the conference by delaying commitments. We are coming to this committee to say, please assist us. Some of your agencies last year, they did not even contribute. Some of their CEOs did not even pitch, even when they knew they were on the program, because they don't take youth development seriously. And even when they come here, nobody asks them, what are you doing for youth development? So they, to them, it's a non-issue, not even in their KPI. So we are here to say we request a partnership with this committee to try and make these agencies aware of the importance of taking youth development very seriously. And I think I will allow my colleagues to tell if I've left anything out. But I thought I should summarize in that fashion, Chair.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Just a brief one. I think on the issue of duplication or parallel structures and so on, and somebody can address the point, but I think there can never be enough interventions that we can undertake, whether individually or as organized structures. And perhaps part of that speaks to the issue of holding each other accountable, of course, undertaking different roles. The NYDA is a structure of government established through an act and a report to the president of the parliament. The forum is, amongst other things, play a role of lobbying advocacy. And I think the point has been made of the report capacity issues that relate to the NYDA. And part of the functions that the NYDA needs to undertake, for instance, which speaks to the issue that was raised earlier, is to provide that statistical information in as far as the status of youth is concerned. There's a report that they need to submit to the president, I think, every 5 years, if not 10 years. That speaks to the status of young people in the country, which then speaks to the point that was raised earlier that says, next time we come to the committee, we need to provide statistical information that says, in this particular municipality, this is the form in which the youth development directorate is organized. These are the activities that are taking place. And part of this work should be reflected in that status of the youth report that is supposed to be submitted by the NYDA, but due to resource capacities, whether financial or resource-wise, that report has not been forthcoming. And these are some of the areas where we need to augment some of the work that is done by some of the agencies and institutions without replication, because the NYDA is a participant and a partner in this particular forum. So I think in saying that, we also take the point that next time we do need to provide some form of scientific evidence that says this is the municipality, these are the activities that are currently taking place, this is a point of dissatisfaction as far as we are concerned as a body. Because when these structures come and report, obviously they want to look good, they will not speak to some of the things that they are not doing. Hence, there needs to be structures on the ground that hold them to be accountable. So I think part of what we're doing is to really supplement and augment the work that each and every one of us is doing. The function of youth development is very huge, and it will need all of us to put our hands on it. And obviously, I think State Advisor will take the point of avoiding duplication or replication or the existence of parallel structures. But I think we must find comfort in knowing that the NYD is a partner and is participating in the meeting of the forum. There was a meeting yesterday in Johannesburg at the Parliament Office, where all parties were represented, including the NYD.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to respond to the issue of interaction with the youth and the visibility. As my colleague has just said, that we are not reinventing the wheel. We are using the current resources that are there within the government that have not been utilized effectively. Hence, we have a partnership with NYDA, the Yes Initiative, the CETAS. Now, these are institutions or entities that are tasked to deal with youth issues. For instance, they have statistics in terms of unemployed youth, the demographics in terms of who has what and what. So that information, we take it from them. We are also using the universities that we are working with to get the data. So in whatever initiative or outreach that these institutions that are tasked with the same interest that we have are having activities, we partner them. We go and do our outreach and lobbying in those areas. So we are, in actual fact, visible, and we are in interacting with the youth.
This is very helpful, colleagues. The introduction has been made, and we are very happy. And then I think one day they'll join us on the customer initiation bill. And they want to go to a tour, go with them there in mountain.
Maybe not that.
No, colleagues, that's very useful. I think we all agree that the youth in our country will end in the United States. You know. And then we seem to do that. When we grew up in Alexandria, Monday to Friday, at least for the different. We will find many of us on the street. But if you go to Alexandria now, it's almost holiday every day. Of young people, you know, young people. Every corner, the young people. When young people like that are not doing anything, they are ready for any action. They are ready for any action. And something that worries everyone. We are not alone anywhere, Capital, on this matter. I think everyone who's here is worried about it. Because we can't have a population in Africa that is at 65%, 63%. But all of them being are not going around everywhere. I think it's a big problem. And I think we are doing a good job for addressing the issue that worries everyone. And then that was worried in Shushu. A lot of young people in Shushu anyway. They don't know what to do. They are just available. Because it's a makaya relapa. Baye bayeni. To all the good yama say baye beshama cashla bekutuchwala. And the situation that is happening in many parts of our country, go to Kumbu, similar things, throughout the country, it's very clear that we are facing a bigger challenge. And then coming here to introduce ourselves, I think, is very helpful. And then surely there are bigger cities in our country where that has them give you the status of youth in the township. I think that's very important to do so. And then because unless all of us we act together, you won't be able to resolve some of the problems. And I think you are very helpful on this and for this. I think we should volunteer all of us and work in whatever form. Even if we establish a soccer game somewhere in Kufuli, from a soccer club generally. In fact, those clubs, anyway, they used to be established all by taxi owners in township. All of them established by taxi owners, some sportsmen, doesn't even know how soccer is all about, but established because people always were worried about the young people. And I think we are correct to take this matter. We will, of course, work with you also, the committee come to us. We also lobby for other people. We hold the councils and accountable. But I think we are doing well, the beginning. Coordinate your activities. You work with many of us. And we have a discussion. Of course, there are also a lot of organizations outside state organs. A lot of NGOs, civil society organizations, link up with them and discussion. And then all of them are worried about the young people. And then I think all advocates who are here, they are worried about the young people. And therefore, I think we, all of us, we should be working together. And I think some of them now must be going to, even though I'm a host, you know, advisor to the traditional leaders. Ensure that we work out some of these issues. Because even those areas that young people are there, even Amakhosi anyway, are becoming younger and younger. Mm-hmm. And Babu is no longer Amakhosi was powerful, was Paramate. Amakhosi can tell you, that's Madala. Amakhosi are very young. Therefore, engaging with them is very helpful for us to address some of the problems that we are facing. Yeah, thank you very much for coming. Of course, your contacts are here, and then we can work it out and move on. In fact, the meeting, in fact, is meant for other purposes. We would want to move and deal with other issues that are outstanding. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a question. We are interacting with the Nelson Mandela Foundation as such. But if we can hear your advice in this regard, if we can move this Youth Leadership Academy to become the Nelson Mandela Youth Leadership Academy, apart from the fact that we can bring in a lot of valuable principles and approaches and etc. from his lessons from his leadership, etc. Apart from that kind of thing, we'll also be able to get a lot more support and international funding, for instance. If we think of the Obama Foundation, we all know what Obama's relationship with our late president has been and how he's admired. They will be, for instance, we'll be able to approach them and say, could you please fund this initiative as such? If we could get your meaning on that, should we continue with that? And that will also require for them to be confirmed that government wants that to happen.
Well, the members will look at it as you're raising it. But surely I do think that youth sectors in our country, they can link up with any person, really. So the foundation that can adopt to their fund to their work. And then engage with them. There are too many foundations here. Some really are not very poor foundations. And then link up with them, have discussion with them. And then ourselves also, you know now that we are here, we are existing. Whatever we interact with, and we can talk some of those issues. I think we can approach the Matiba Foundation. And then I know that will be the Dube Foundation, not just Dube. The bigger Dube Foundation. And then a lot of other foundations. A lot of other foundations. I think we are working. Ensure that we coordinate some of the work. But of course also there are many youth organizations in township. Was one of the tragedies. That when you were growing up, there were youth clubs in many townships. They've disappeared. Completely disappeared. They are no longer youth clubs. In fact, many people who are politically involved now, they started in Young Christian Student Association, all these associations that used to take care of the young people would have completely disappeared. And I think a recreation of some of them, I think, would be very critical. And then good luck, the work that we are doing. We'll always interact with such discussion. And then we may be invited in civil society organizations to avoid and ensure that we need to address the challenge facing our people. Thank again for the documentation. We have signed the register for your contact. When they are going to their constituencies, they'll be able to interact with you and then have a discussion. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You are based in Swansea.
Yes, but we want to print
everywhere in the country.
Just for coordination.
Okay. Good job. And we'll work with you and have discussions. In many other forum where we stand, we'll always be in touch with you. Many organizations also. I think a number of people that are here also should volunteer services.
Yeah. We ask one thing, Chair, that they must give us a clear organogram, because we can't just talk about funding if we don't know the structure, how it works. The funding part as well, the current funding structure, and the intent funding structure, so that we are really focused on where they take this, where they operate. Which provinces, various sub-offices, the various areas, you know, just to have a clear number on what is how we do.
No, so thank you very much.
Could I maybe just give you the sponsor that,
Saying for the future.
Okay, yeah. Because there is a guiding coalition which includes these parties on the academy, for instance.
Okay. Training young people is very critical at moment. No. Let us work it out. I think we do have cards. Leave them with members, and then we'll be able then to link up and have a discussion on that. But truly speaking, I think you are doing well. You are a very young organization. I think you are going to grow over time. Work it out. We need to address the young. The youth question. We can't avoid that also. Otherwise, the parliament is not going to be here when there are no youth. All of them are in Yahoo. There will be no members of parliament. Otherwise, they have a Yahoo member of parliament.
Lord Chair, we appreciate the opportunity to remember. We appreciate this opportunity. And we promise to keep it coming.
Okay. No, there are many organizations in South Africa. Many members are serving in many organizations. They will link up with you and discuss you and so that we continue the program and the program.
We invite you to a conference.
No. We will come to a conference. And we will represent us in a conference. Thank you very much for this. It's a very good idea. Take 3 minutes for the break.
How many?
3 minutes. No, 2 minutes, and add 2 more. You require it.
I'm not going to be able to do that. If you don't see them and if you mention them, I don't think. So somehow we don't know. I don't. The national, in my mind, the national relies on the policies and freedom that is there. Not to implement. I don't think anywhere. No, they implement many things which I think are the program of the department. They enter into partnerships according to me.
But then how do they
work of the
department? How do they find
they end up doing that because they sign this MOU.
They are not allowed to
I see it's doing projects that are supposed to be in the department. Like an engagement model between government and the national leadership. I don't think that is the work of the national house. Let them throw it in.
Oh.
But
Colleagues, thank you very much. That was all, I think, was a nice presentation by the young people.
You said they did appear before the National House.
Yes.
To present their wish to have more traditional leaders.
Okay.
So we...
Traditional leaders are very accommodating.
Very accommodative, because we as well want to establish a structure that will work with the young tradition.
Oh, okay. And then okay. That's a good idea. You must work it out.
The traditional leaders are progressive, so you see.
because they're getting young. But many of them, they are forced by the country. Village is actually to have 50,000 people, now it's about 2 and 4, 2. And they are really incisive. And of course, also I know that the commission, I think commissioner is here, but the woman says, no, I think we are raising the question of miracles, that we believe a lot in miracles. Helping about almost all souls. Because of the problem. By the product of that problem. Of always believing miracles. The large part of people are going there anyway. That doesn't mean that Harriet also you go there. But large number of people are females. And then a person goes to a church 7 in the morning until 7 at night. Kids are not only seeing their mothers. And all these people have been exploited. They are highly learned. Some of them are advocates next to me. That is the real disaster. The whole advocate goes to a church and pays the entire pension money. entire money. And all of them are donating to non-South Africans. All those people generally are non-South Africans.
Instead of donating to my church.
And then instead of donating to South Africans, they donate to non-South Africans. And charity things, and the young men, they need more donations. And it's a big problem because it's the exploitation of the young people there, the result of this problem. That we believe in family, after 1994, we ended up believing this, what is called colonial miracle. It was no miracle. People died for our liberation. It was not God giving liberation. We died for it, we came for it, and everything happened. And then now we believe a myth of a miracle, and everyone now believes that we can just pay, and the next day we are billionaires. You can realize that. Students don't go and study. Towards the exam, must pay for them to pass. You can hear us. We are all distorted. Even how things happen. Hence, I think of Mama and Senator that, you know, we must regulate religion. And then, I know that Abu Mama, so we have a real discussion with them. Because I think social development must regulate these things, I'm very angry about it, because of motors, of rotation. and then we don't devour them anyway. But we said they must regulate, must self-regulatory, must be regulated by themselves, by code of conduct, all of this must. But it's very clear that we are facing problems. Once in a society as believer, miracles is really the problem. Really is a real problem. I think we must discourage the idea of miracles.
For
believe in miracles.
If only it's not officially for free.
Because those who know,
for you and me, it's for generation.
Let us see, colleagues, what we can do. The customary initiation bill. Today the intention then is to go clause by clause. And some of the clauses that we discussed, I think my professor, Dr. Bester, one way or another we have negotiated with your colleagues on the question of how to raise the age issue. I know that yesterday they were criticizing the Children's Act, but there can't be a solution to the problem that we are having at the postal level. And we'll do as much as we can, colleagues, and once we are tired, we'll retire. Go to the chamber, please.
Miracles,
they do happen, I'm told. I never understood why South Africa like this. It's a risk distorting everything. That's why I said to Nyan, Babu Tolu, Utalem Kukwin, but it was a world when demand. Utalem Kukwin, Anna Katu, they are more in the world. As you know, I can make you move to have millions of one. Why can't you start with yourself? Why should you start with yourself? But I'm cooking, but yourself is not going to have any money. It's just a distortion of this. Yeah. But I think, that is to make a push. You must not start and pray and then you pass the exam. Yeah. We should call it goes to. I think we agree that on the title of the there is no question.
Jay, thank you. I just want to, the document that I handed out now, we handed it out and agreed to the committee in the first round, but just make copies again for honorable members. It has copies of all the other, the sources of other bills that are referred to in this bill for members' convenience. And it will become very important once you get to Clause 28, the Children's Act issue, because we have the particular Children's Act clause here, section, as well as right at the back the regulations. And I know the legal advisors will speak to that when we get to that clause. Thank you.
Okay. Can we move on, colleagues? Can we move? Definition.
Okay. Yeah. On the definition, from my director to look on that. Yesterday, remember we spoke yesterday about the drug trafficking act, and that there will be a clause coming in later in the bill for that. So we will be inserting the definition for that. But then, Chair, if honourable members can go to the definition for medical practitioner, which is on page 5 of the bill. You will see the definition is very short. It says medical practitioner is there in line 42. It means a person who has been registered as a medical practitioner in accordance with the provisions of the Health Professions Act. Now, initially we thought that's fine. The definition is fine. But then, at the public hearings that were held in Fiji, actually when you started with the public hearings, one of the honourable members, who is not here today, discussed this definition with us and said, how sure are we that this does not include a dentist or a physiotherapist. How sure are we it's actually a medical doctor? So we went and we looked very carefully at the Health Professions Act. What we found is that none of the health professions related legislation actually uses the term medical doctor. They just speak about medical practitioner. And then Trisha did a lot of research. Then we found that what they have in terms of the health practitioners' laws is they have different bodies where your different categories of health practitioners must register. So we narrowed it down then at the start to a very specific, the medical and dental professional board. And then under that particular board, there are separate, or for purposes of registration with that board, there are separate regulations issued by the Department of Health. And the one that relates to medical doctors, as we know them, and the one that we want to be involved in the process, is called Regulations Relating to the Registration of Persons as General Practitioners and Family Physicians. So we will be proposing in an ALIS 2 committee a new definition for medical practitioners linked to that act and those regulations to make sure that we are talking about medical doctors as we know them, even though that terminology is not used. Thank you.
Okay. I think we'll wait for that. Where for it will be very helpful.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be misunderstood by all your colleagues. Can you continue another issue? Page 6. Sorry, are you happy?
Yeah, no, no.
You're fine.
Looking for money.
Yes. Hello.
Just one question, but I don't think it is something that we noted in terms of the traditional health practitioners act in relation to the traditional station. I think it's a similar thing also is appearing in the protective business. And what we found is that there are two national legislation statutes that are actually similar in nature way forward. So, but the definition for purposes of the traditional station as well, in line with the context where it appears, not sure whether we need to change it or we leave it as is as well, because it's a similar issue in respect of the clarity that you do that those people would be falling under that category.
Members, if it does change, that's fine.
On that one, Chair, maybe, just so the committee members, I refresh their memory when we did the presentation initially. And just that we also spoke about, remember there's a clause here in the bill that's about interim arrangement. And the reason for that is because the provisions of this Traditional Health Practitioners Act, in terms of which traditional surgeons are supposed to be registered, have not yet come into operation, which is strange because it's a 2007 Act. So it's 11 years later, and for some reason those provisions are not yet in operation, which then forced us to bring in that interim clause 41 to arrange for the interim registration of traditional health practitioners and surgeons.
Can we move on page 6, application, objective, and application and correction. And then 2, 1A, B, C, 2, sub 2, A, B, C, D, 3, 4, A, D, C, D, 5, A, D.
That it needs to be amended. If we say so, yes.
We agree that I'm going to add basically what I said. We said that any principal KG, but traditional surgeon, medical practitioner, or traditional health practitioner who is involved in the initiation practice or any aspect of such practice must subject to section 37.3 and 4 at least be 40 years older and must have appropriate experience, and relevant experience should be required.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because the agreement was that somebody could be 40 and with no experience.
So I'm fine. I was taught in the early morning because I was still in the lesson with you, but what is relevant experience? How do we define that?
In terms of the transition.
I think they should be linked to something, you know, like
but
5 years.
As determined by PICC, remember the principal or anybody who has to be in this box has to, there are categories of what entails a principal, the requirements of what entails a principal.
So it's a possibility, although there are different PICCs. So if we want to set norms and standards, which is, I think, national government's job, then I don't think that is something we must leave to the provinces to decide, because the one will say 1 year, the other will say 10 years.
Unfortunately, also, Chairperson, I missed the discussion as well. I'm not certain if that inserted caution was perhaps attempting to address the issue that from the submission other presenters had said they require that we move the number from 40 down a little bit, because we might exclude people that are already experiencing these processes if we say it must be a person at age 40 and above. So I'm not sure if the proposed insertion was attempting to address that, whereas instead of inserting what might be ambiguous, we rather speak to the age as it appears. Perhaps maybe if we say 35, which is the age gap that it ends, instead of 40, but I'm not sure as the discussion transpired what was there.
The issue was not actually age. We mentioned age, however we were saying if you put 40, somebody could be 40 years of age with no experience.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying we can have 40, we can have two scenarios. The one of a person who is 40 and experienced, or somebody who has a relevant experience in terms of initiation or circumcision, however they are not 40. So it will be twofold. It will cater for somebody younger than 40, but it's the same who have the relevant experience in terms of initiation. And that addresses the issue of whether somebody younger could suffice.
If you look at the years of experience of this person, yesterday you talked about the regiment. You know, for instance, I went through this process in 1965. I didn't have the experience. Now, if you say 14 means, because this thing is 5 years. Every 5 years. How many years? How many experience? About 40 years experience. This is sufficient. That's what I think is correct. Because number. We are experience. 5 years, 5 years, 5 years after schooling. Yes, after schooling. In 5 years, it takes place every 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, if this person schooled at 18, by the time he's 40, how many years? You must tie it down to the age.
My recollection, Chair, we agreed to that, let's link the experience and the age. We said anybody at the age of 40 is matured enough, because you may go to the school with the age of 45, then 3 months later you can't say that you are now experienced.
Yeah.
We said therefore said to cover the experience part, let's say the 40 plus experience. That's where we agree to say now the issue of the NIOC comes in, kicks in now to to determine who's got an experience, because they will be there. They knew these people. But at the age of 40, the 40 must be the bottom line. And their chair was talking about the surgical doctor.
Medical practice.
They said medical, we must not prescribe on them because they are, those people are professionals.
Mm-hmm.
They are trained. He might have 15 years, but because of the qualification, we can't limit him to here.
I thought two areas that were trying to cover.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Many people on the ground were saying, if we put the age at 40, large number of people who are doing it today, it is fine. Many of them, they are,
which is good.
They've been in the mountains themselves, they say they've got experience, all these matters. And some parts, certainly Mbombo, when they agreed on 40 generally.
Mm-hmm.
Other provinces are very, very serious about that now. This 40 thing, first, it doesn't mean that because you are 40, therefore you're experienced.
Yeah.
And then there are people who have been doing it, they are less than 40 even today, but they've been very successful in performing one side of initiation. Therefore, we should look at how we balance it. I thought the relevant experience was based that you cover everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The age issue, but also you cover people who got experience, because the oversight committees will look at this and think that Andy is not yet 40, but he has experience, he has been doing it well, conducting himself well, discipline and other issues that are there. I think we must try to address it both ways. The legal team must find a way of combining the two and then show that, because the reality of the situation is that it is. The whole initiation now is money-making.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, you want to discourage that. Before I say 40. Because you want to discourage young people doing this because they are causing a lot of trouble. But also there are people who are not 40. But in many villages, they are already performing their general function. And then they were raising an issue that they must. This 40 is going to disqualify many of us here. In fact, in Tata area, they were raising those issues. But many of us who are really performing this, and they are going to be disqualified once the bill becomes the law. And it's something that we must deal with it. And then we must look at it and then we can find a way. But I think as a committee, we stick to 40. We thought 40 was the correct approach. And we know that people are not supporting 40 in other areas, and therefore, but the experience is very important. Because the point was raised that if I was working in their minds, I never had the resources to go and perform one part of initiation. I can be 40, but I have no experience to do the work. And that's
Chairperson, I'm a little bit concerned with the 40 years I don't have a problem, but with the
experience
part. To me, it should be linked to a number of regiments or seasons you have overseen. Because you can't just be a principal if you have not been a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go through all those processes so that when you are a principal, you must know exactly what the caregiver is supposed to do and all of that. So I don't know how the legal people will coin it in such a way that it ensures that a principal must be aware of all these processes that are taking place. Yeah, because, as Honourable Member Mazibe is saying, if you, for instance, we say 3 years experience as an example, the calculation of 3 years from the Wandebele side will differ with the calculation of 3 years initiation. Because in Wandebele, initiation goes once in 4 years. And in Eastern Cape, it's winter and summer. So the person who has undergone initiation in Western Cape gets quick experience than the one who's in Wandebele. Because the one who's in Wandebele will only see the next initiation after 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be his first year. You see, so that is the calculation of the years we must understand the practices of different communities.
What if we link it to seasons, initiation seasons?
Yeah.
And we the committee decides on a number, 5, 10, whatever, and we phrase it like that and say, person must have had experience in 5 or 10 initiation seasons.
Because then they accommodate everyone.
Yeah.
Those who are every year, and those who are 5 years,
yeah,
whatever years, but they'll count it in terms of seasons.
Yes.
I think that would be far better. Let us try to find a better way to advocate that here, they must work it out. And then
when visit it
happens.
And it must be a previous chair, that it must be somebody that has also undergone through caregiver. We must put all the other structures because it will be relevant so that you don't jump from straight from the school to become the prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
yeah,
it can be stated that it must be somebody that has undergone, because that one is going to also limit the contestation of that provision. You know that we have not gone through this level, so therefore you can't expect yourself to go. You know, if you are interested, you must go all this level. You know that you are the next person in the line to be jumped to the
Then the season issue.
Yeah, the season issue comes.
Was that the best thing to do? Because yeah, we should find a way. Otherwise everyone would say, I'm a principal.
Mm.
And then they would cause a lot of health and problems.
Yes.
Then Chair, question.
Yeah.
The committee agrees that the age requirement of 40 years should not apply to medical practitioners, which is fine. Yeah. But the other requirement in that subclause that says that all these people, including medical practitioners that are involved, must have undergone initiation themselves. That requirement should remain there. Or do you also say that medical practitioners do not have to meet that particular requirement?
No, I was trying to re-emphasize what for example is a very important thing that you have people who stay at the time. I'm not referring to you, they take cultural down to the rural areas for this process, they go through the process, then immediately they come back where they stay. And that person is unlike the one who stays in the rural areas, who will always participating in the process forward. So what he said that he might have been a caregiver. And that also validates the issue of experience.
Mm.
Must have gone through those stages, unlike the one who is in the Alexander and the Facebook. He's never participated. The only time when he participated was when he was mutilated.
Yeah.
The one that is raised by the doc now, it's problematic, Chair, to say that the medical doctor and the people that are supposed to undergone the training, because it's like the police, which is too integrated.
Yeah.
It's like the police. When it works, well, it has been understood that problem. But it must not limit the stage to say they can't deploy anybody because we don't have one yet.
So it's simply removed then.
So it must be removed, Chair, but it's recommended. Always, I think the management, it must be in their prerogative to say, look, you understand better that things go there. But if there's nobody, the state must deploy anybody because they must be crying. Police, you can't say that before you enter into this review, you take into an interview first. When you want to get in, you must get in. Irrespective. The doctor, when the lives of the initiates are in danger, you must get in. Train. The professional somebody must get in and deal with that part and thereof pull off.
Correct.
That's why I'm saying, Chair, I might have a problem. Even yesterday, my Bennett friend, not here because we debated with him very harsh to this point. But to me, it must be really, it must be withdrawn. That's how it
I thought that yesterday we are saying people who are trained medical through university, the expert on the area.
Mm-hmm.
you can't say a doctor is kum, is a medical trained doctor. Mm. Initiate a diary. Mm. You are waiting for a doctor from Cape Town to come because he, you know, he can't wear.
Yeah.
In fact, no state anyway can affect that through this business. And then I think we should agree that we remove it yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we deal with the other people of that. I think the new area that we are putting, that's very helpful. Babu Stolama citizens. Because Amma citizens then will recover. Because Mutala is correct that if all of us were from the mountain, simultaneously there are hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm.
But not all of them will be seasonal approach. They will assist that also don't create in conflict. Then the overseeing committee then find it very difficult to deal with this one. I think the medical trained doctors, I think we have a faith in that, open that area, open the police in that area, and then as you limit the capacity of the state, and the criminals can then do whatever they like. And it will be difficult to say, no, police inside this room that initiates, just wait there at the door.
Nurses as well.
Everyone
do that, yeah. Yeah, but just on a lighter note, I don't know if the committee is aware that in one of the initiation schools in Eastern Cape, there was an initiate who was not well. So he was supposed to be removed from the site to the Bush Hospital, if I may call it that way. But then, when it was time to remove him from the initiation school, there was a riot of initiates blocking police, blocking medical practitioners from removing him from that, to an extent where public order police had to be called too to come and assist in that. So all these things, we need to link them with the cultures of that community. So there's a lot of work that must be done to educate communities about the whole transition that we're in.
Okay, as we speak something, what was the input of the health department? If you remember, like in particular on issues of health, what did they say last time when you were in?
They did not speak specifically on the bill because they were underprepared. They said that they didn't have enough time to prepare. So they didn't refer to specific clauses in the bill. So they spoke generally about the medical meals, the circumcision that they administer. So they just spoke generally.
Mm-hmm. So there is a need for us to focus on the health mechanism. If you go to this site,
I just think that your oversight committee will do all that.
Mm-hmm.
The provincial one, the district one, whatever oversight committee. When the school is going to be open somewhere in Kailisha, surely the oversight committee of the district must go there and say, it's fine, it can work. Engraving is right, the traditional agent is right, is qualified, because there should be a way of managing it, otherwise it will be a hassle. I think what causes many deaths anyway, this is the way things sometimes happen. Young people do this way, they have no experience, because I think that's why then the age came in, also experience came in on that in terms of system, is to cover that point. And I think we can phrase it accordingly on that. Of course, we are going to meet with the health one. In fact, they are providing water in other areas now. The local government is providing water, something just for hygienic purposes. It's a big problem. That's a big problem there that we have to be addressed.
Okay.
Can we move to before we have dealt with it now? Five, no person may participate. The unsuitable one.
Yeah.
Can we go 5A, and 5B, and 5C? Is there any issue? Can we move at 6? Nothing contained?
Yeah.
Southern Avenue. But seven there. No role player is involved. Let's move on page 8. Up to there. The term of office. The term of office of the 5 years.
Initiation.
That will be 3 members of that, women. A person, is that a policy or no?
I thought so.
No, that's not that straightforward. It has to be applied through notice in the Gazette.
I know that in the government part is 50-50, but the parliament is not. And then that is not a law
yes.
in the country. The policies of parties, I'm not sure what our parties is. The governing party is 50-50. That's why Nyamboso
yeah.
wanted to push it in the National Assembly to be law. At all parties, 50-50.
It's one of the clauses, Jay. We got a lot of commitment from, I won't say from which side, you will hear from what I say. People say, remove it.
Yeah.
We cannot allow females to be on this structure.
I know. They forget that also there are female initiatives.
And the Human Rights Commission believes, I think, that because women are mothers, we bear
yes.
the sons or daughters.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly sons are died, like flies and agitation
mm-hmm.
camps.
Mm-hmm.
And so we urge that women more be involved and treated with more dignity and respect in these processes, while we respect the practice of traditional communication.
No. it's a fair comment.
Please present each other.
It's a fair comment.
And the department disagree.
That is, culture is not universal. As much as we want
yeah.
to be there. You remember,
the beginning is that 3 members
yeah.
mm.
at least should be women. Some of the committees will be 7 members, 8 members, because I don't think we need a big committee.
Yeah.
And then you have to decide now on the quorum is a man, there's a problem on that.
And this is the national one, it's a
yeah. I just think that we must take it out and then. Of course, we may have it 5 or 6. I think at least should be 3, because that covers some of the 4, some of the 5, but at least can't be less than 3 in any formation of that. And then they may end up with 50% and 100% and some of the others also.
I'm just thinking in terms of the comments of others when you are now, but I'm forced because also if you think we have what we're putting on but also I'm looking at the churches in our society. For example, there are churches who don't want men in their churches. Only men are going to church. But to respect that.
But
when you come to this side, you see more hypocritical. But there's a point I just want to know. There's a point that I want to come to that. It's very difficult, because this issue of culture, most of the people who are practicing it, you know, this is the cornerstone of their life. Now, once you interfere, you need to make the situation of leaven the club, because that will cause conservation. It's not going to be
worked.
Always they will be resisted.
But generally speaking, colleagues. All men probably that we visited, except one time. There was no resistance on women.
Mm.
That's why many people participated that were women. The only reason issue that you can't enter, we discussed it along yesterday, but other than that, women can't be part of the team, the structure. But when you go for extra expenditure, then they may not go in if they're male. That male can't go in when they're women. Which is, I think that's an issue really that we said generally is acceptable. The number then is something that we have to work on. But as I understood it, that at least three members at the national level should be women. It can be 50, can be 40, depending more, even 100.
It doesn't that include girls initiation or female initiation as well? So it's mixed gender by its nature, the NRC for
example. No, the in fact, it's meant for male and female.
So
they're off, they're off.
It's
gender neutral.
And the structure itself would be gender neutral because it deals with female and male initiation.
Yeah.
So that answers our question around female representatives.
Yeah.
Hence, it very well might be increased.
Yeah. That's what.
To me, Chair, to that Chair, why don't we say this committee must be gender neutral? So that we don't put numbers. So three out of five, what is that percentage, Chair? It's about 6. Then three out of, if you say not a minimum of three, if the committee is 6, that's 50-50. If the committee is 4, then the women will be the 90% over. You see, this is rather forced to say it must be gender sensitive so that we respect. If they choose in an area where the women dominated, allow them to come through. As many as they can. If it's an area where male dominated area, they can pick up those women that they need to take a measure of. Even if it's 1 or 3 or 8, it's fine. But I knew they would be electing them based on their expertise and experience.
Well, we are talking about national
oversight.
Well, the national level. So the national can't be less than 4. There'll be 15 whatever time.
9.
Out of that 9, at least 3 should be women. It's one third of that. I think we are covered on that because that has to be cascading to all levels.
It's a plain principle that in the TKLB and the current framework for one third.
Go further because they are transgender issues and we don't know what to do. Research is going further and further away, so it will end up confusing.
And indeed, there are transgender people demanding to be initiated.
Oh.
It's very tricky.
The ones also to be initiated?
Yes, we have a woman born and I've now changed my gender into male and I want to go to the male initiation school. Some have been and been allowed to, others have not. So it's a whole debate and discussion. We've even had to hear about it at the commission
still. No, I think that as we are doing this work, the CRL will continue the education. And then we can be able, but at the moment at least 3 should be women.
Yeah.
There will be 6 members, there will be 9 members there, there may be 4, but it can't be less than 3 in general. And therefore 1/3 of that will be women, most. That's a basic point. And then you come with gender, another. There are too many things, the transgender. And we must allow them space also to be initiated. Because anyway, we must respect sexual orientation of every human being. It's a basic right. And then it's a constitutional issue. There's no law that you like it or not. If you don't like it, go to your house, don't temper with us. We enjoy it. People must be protected. Irregardless whether we like what they are happening or not, they must be. Because we can cause havoc with society. I think the gender sensitivity, I think we are fine. Okay.
So what are we doing? Why are we discussing anti-Gordon, anti-traditional?
Well. Let us move to, if you are clear with this, four will be like that. Let us go to Shepherdson and visit Shepherdson. These are functions really that are normal. Qualification, anything there that we must add?
for qualification A to J, and then vacancies, the seven, daily calendar day, I think is not bad. Meeting, let's go to meeting, because the quorum would be very important.
I think when we meeting we had an issue with Pretoria, we were moved to Pretoria.
Oh yes.
And the ATA chair, are we not contradicting ourselves with that for
that one?
That 18 years, you talk to
a person not eligible to be designated as a member of an international
committee.
There's a committee.
Under 18 years of future committee.
So no children shall serve on
the
coordinating structure. It's adults.
Yes, it's correct.
Mm.
You want to remove the
when there we said 40, those are candidates. Only say
that's for the principals and the caregivers and the people. That is for the committee members.
Yeah. Yeah. Membership
for the structure.
Yeah.
So
government officials, they can be younger than
40.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jake, have you agreed yesterday to remove the Pretoria?
No. Our view is that we shouldn't be too specific.
Yeah, so, have you taken into account the cost implications? Because these people are all based, basically, if you look at it, the National Committee, the NIOC, are Pretoria-based people, which to an extent is a national body.
You could say national office. National office.
Which is Pretoria. Obviously, anything going beyond that, to say, I don't know if a principle, it's not a drafting issue to say take out Pretoria, that's what it is. But there are financial implications. Remember, there are the PICCs in each and every province that's implementing. This is an oversight body. So, if you take the National House Act just as an example, even though the person in charge of the National House, and I won't mention who that is, and there's no recording, is contravening that act. The National House Act says very clearly, the National House can meet only where the seat, where the administrative seat of the department is, which is Pretoria, or in the Cape Town. They do go and they meet elsewhere, which is not correct in terms of the law. So, on this one, we just thought that for the fact that the members are people from Pretoria, based people.
I think it's not a principle point, head offices are in Pretoria for all departments.
Yes.
In all organs, Salga, everyone, general in Pretoria, wouldn't stop them to meet in Durban if they happen to be all in Durban, for whatever purposes. I think we shouldn't waste a lot of time on it.
So we remove that.
Leave it in there, it doesn't matter really.
No, that's the
move.
We can say the head office of the department. Then the department, if it changed to Cape Town, then they will go to Cape Town. Other than to specify the area.
Okay.
No, but the capital city colleagues is Pretoria.
What if the capital is moved to Cape Town?
Then we move it, because the capital city
is
just
the
national,
the
national bodies, all of them.
Majority of traditional leaders are far north.
No. The point, maybe they may not be traditional leaders so much in that team.
Mm-hmm.
And the team, we may vote them out anyway. For one with traditional leader, if all she is a fool. But I'm just saying that at the principal level, though, they have, the capital city of the country is in Pretoria. Therefore, Pretoria is a national head of any organization that is national in character. Leave Pretoria there, it doesn't kill us really, truthfully. And then they will meet anywhere if they want to meet, but I think we want to be specific on that. The head office of the organization. In fact, I don't know any body, any structure in South Africa that is state run, that is not in Pretoria. Not a single one.
and then all of them, even such as those what you call state owns, whatever, all of them went to Tula.
Officer of the Chief Justice, Midland.
Chief Justice, no, but the head office is in Pretoria. Then we can go to that route. I don't think we should make a lot of problem at Pretoria. I think that's not that more. Let us move to let's go to 3-5 members of the quorum.
Yeah.
5 of 9 is the quorum.
Yes.
And then minutes and records. We are happy. 4B, sub B, the minutes of any meeting must be endorsed. Of course, the minutes must be approved.
Yes.
Procedural issues, functions. Apply our mind on functions and behavior, because functions are very important. Functions 9-1, sub Roman Figure 1. The main function is to monitor implementation of the act. Anything that is going to be in the act, they have to monitor. Discrimination, gender sensitivity, all the areas there. Religious sector. Because I'm not sure anyway if I say that I'm going there, I'm young, I'm 14 or 10, it's a religious ground. No one can stop me if I ask you that is my religious ground to go there. And then Roman Figure 2, Roman Figure 3, Roman Figure 4, 5, 6, 7, and then that is B. 9 for B. Roman Figure 1 is
here. Roman Figure 5. Let me ask you, above the TIC3, what structure above that?
Is it provincial or be national?
National.
No. Yeah, the national structure, provincial structure,
local
structure. In terms of maybe sometimes we distribute in other areas. We don't want to have a lot of people there. There are going to be assisted with resources for meeting attendance. Yeah.
Inspections, all these things.
Yeah. There'll be no not a salary position. Yeah. Otherwise it can cause havoc. Okay, let us move on that one. Honorable Mteto, you are fine?
Yes, Chair.
The start B, the end of 9. Roman Figure 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let's move at start 2. Start 2A, the need must be within 7 calendar days.
Investigation.
Of investigation. Submit a report to the minister. Sub B, before the end of February of each year. In all kinds of each year, the next month, the first of the 6 months, prepare a report. Roman Figure 2, Roman Figure 2, 3, a report of NIC. 3A for the purposes of keeping the steps. 1, 5, NIC must develop and maintain a database. They are finding a database. Roman Figure 1, 2, 3, 4.
I think in one of the comments, are we not able to have the sign native by annual? Before the end of February and August of each year, the North Macedonia Professor will prepare a report. Can't you just say that by annual, North must prepare a report
it's linked to the end of the initiation season.
Is that?
It's linked to the end of the initiation season.
Oh.
The winter season and the summer season.
Oh.
But then if it's biannual?
Then they can do it whenever they want. Specifically, the idea specifically after immediately after the season ends, the initiation season ends, then they must submit the report.
What about those that are doing throughout the year?
Well, they'll count every year.
They'll
count it every year.
Then it means they will have to do it 6 months later, basically.
Let us move to page 10.
Yes, it might be, but I just think we can't we say before the end of March and before the end of September? You see, the reason for March, sometimes we struggle a bit to get all the information from provinces, especially in provinces where there are most of the unregistered initiation schools. You struggle to get that number which is verified. So I'm just trying to push the target a little bit forward.
It shouldn't be a substantive issue.
Mm-hmm. In terms of budget, Chair, then it will, the budget before February, you need to have all the reports.
There could be draft reports, but which are not really final reports. Because you find what the other, as Honourable Member Mazibe mentioned yesterday, would the other schools run for, I mean the process is, though the school is 2 months, but the process is goes up to 4 months.
Yeah.
But you look, for instance, at Eastern Cape, some go into the initiation school just after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And they will come back towards the end of January. So the issue I'm talking about here is that February might be a little bit too short for sound and adequate reporting or collection of information. So, but in terms of budget, you're saying before the end of March.
Okay.
So, oh, it's covered.
Okay.
On the next page, covers the submission of financial estimates for the financial year. So this one is just about the reporting, which is fine. It's going to affect the financial year.
Page 10, administrative and financial support. We are fine on that.
Yeah.
That's the one we've covered in three.
We covered there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go for part two.
Okay.
Provincial initiation coordinating committee. Function is almost with the same. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the provincial level. PICC.
Maybe they say that version was also as even though we were also writing down where we have the issue that we have discussed yesterday.
I might
as we go along so that we get assistance so that we don't reopen our
can you move to PICC?
Chair, may I,
yeah.
On this particular clause, with the NIOC being a national body, it was easy.
Yeah.
Now, remember we want traditional leaders to stay responsible for initiation, to be custodians. So in clause 11, with the establishment and composition of the PICC, the provincial one, there's three scenarios, different ones. Sub-clause 1 deals with provinces where we do have provincial houses of traditional leaders. Seven of them. Subclause 2 deals basically, although it doesn't say, it deals with Gauteng, where you do not have a house, but you do have recognized leaders. And then subclause 3 deals with the Western Cape situation, where you have neither a house, neither leaders. Just to explain why there are three different clauses dealing.
No, because they cover areas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once we have our points then here at the provincial
yeah.
level,
then it will be
then we'll fall away in terms of the web,
yeah.
but it's close to the main.
Okay.
And then we can work it out that way, yes?
Chair, the female initiation, is that governed by the conventional traditional houses of leaders? and excel in the provincial houses of tradition? Or is it indicative that I have a partner, I remember quite. So one of the commissioners on the Seattle Rights Commission is involved in the human investigation.
I may not understand the question directly.
Yes.
The National House does not necessarily establish any initiation school. Instead, currently, the National House, through its Committee on Tradition, Culture and Custom, does monitor initiation schools, both females and males. We had to intervene in one in Cullinan, where there was some reports of irregularity in that school. So some of our members who have undergone female initiation visited the school. I wanted to go with them, but I was.
They can't do that. But it's not harmful, though.
No, it's not.
It's not harmful. Because there's no harm there. There's no harm at all. Unless when you talk in Ojitopia so much, then there's harm. It's really hard for vendors to train how to dance and how to be a good woman, should be given problems. There's no positive motivation, there's nothing like that. Yet. And then virginity test is still a bigger issue. And I think also there's no motivation. And let us move to level one. I think we accept that. That's where probably when the House of Traditional Leaders there, they will be there. Then there is two there, two, similar thing. And then just move to page 11. And then page 11 around the judiciary and chairperson, similar function, really.
Yep.
But at the provincial level. Vacancies, is that the same? Meeting quorum the same?
But there are a little bit more members and there can be 11 members or 9, so it's 50, in their case it's 50%
plus 1. 50 plus 1, the normal one. The quorum, 50 plus 1, the minutes is the same, the record, and the meetings and those. Functions the same.
Just more detail.
Yeah. What are they going to do exactly from 15, sub 1, A, B, C, 3, and G, P. That's what they're going to be doing.
Yes.
It assumes that if this field becomes law, then there will be a lot of training. So once you have appointed them, you will be trained to understand some of the issues. Also the sensitivity that I think on another member of the area. Let's move to page 18. Sub 2, the PSC must keep comprehensive database on the same.
Okay, thanks, Jay. On this one, based on, we the document that Andile prepared with the committee report, we also worked through it, and thanks to Andile for having provided it to us very carefully to see what we think are very, very good comments that can be accommodated. And some of them we've already included in a first draft of the item. On this page, and I think Honourable Milam raised it yesterday during the discussion. I think it's just after I joined the discussion. On page 13, if you go to it's in line 26, paragraph K, it says information relating to the nature and cause of death of an initiate. There was a proposal that we include information about hospitalization by one of the commentators, can't remember which one exactly, and then I think it was the same commentators who said maybe the way that we've worded it should look at it differently because it looks like they looks like we are encouraging people to die. So we have a proposal on K to replace K to say information relating to the nature and cause of the hospitalization and any loss of life of an initiate. That's what we will propose to the committee.
I think it's fine. Okay. K, page 18. Sub K. Okay. I think that is improving. What will be here, for anyone who reads it, what is information all about? In fact, what you want the information that says there's not death, there's not hospitalization.
Yes.
But we know these things still will happen because of the miracles. Can we move to three? Let's keep in TIS. Must develop a manual relating to the probability role expansion until we are found. Sub B. Must arrange for the training of principals. That is very critical.
Yeah.
That is very critical there.
And it's together with health department.
Yeah, to vary that. That means principals and again seasonal approach.
Yes.
In appointing them. Then they'll be trained, then they'll become really a serious business that we want. This is not only a trend taking, serious business. I know that we principal for women initiation in Pumalanga. Let us move to four. Any criteria?
Page 14.
Page 13. The sub four requirement processes, all that, I think when we read it, we didn't have a problem.
Yes.
Part B is if PICC is unable to resolve a dispute referred to, substituting referred to the national. So if there are disputes that they can't resolve, then they will escalate it to national. Then the national, of course, also can take it to minister and government, cabinet, and to deal with those issues. And then C, in any instances where PICC becomes party to a dispute, the first people must be referred to, and so we adjust the procedure and yes. Not preparing issues. And then page 14, they state that the system must within 1 day of becoming aware of any non-registered initiation school. This one is very important because that is the real cause of our problem. These really call initiation schools, and then that you then investigate and close the school where necessary. I think they've done that already and just calling in the Vaz region. And then the CRL also was there. I think they did a good job. They went there. I didn't know that they got so much power to close schools without consultation, but they closed the school.
Well, we agreed.
We agreed. Okay, okay. There was consultation. CRL can be of miracles. They don't want any miracles. They don't want any miracles there. Omatoso knows them. Boro and Omatoso are really angry with them. Then I move to 7.
Why is it not submitted to the staff? Because they have called. They can report the men are there to staff. But the report did not come to the staff.
This is actually the structure itself investigating.
Okay.
And then the report to steps where these allegations of abduction keep their feet. Because it's a criminal offense, so it must go to
the report steps.
But it also has to be included, Honourable Member, it's right. If you read through the whole bill, it must be included in the database, it must be reported to the national body, it must be reported to the minister, everybody. On 7A, where you are now, Chair.
Yeah.
This is where committee discussed, and this is about closure of schools, where it was saying that when you close the school, I know the committee yesterday said that we insert the word appropriate to say that people then be transferred to an appropriate school, but also based on what committee members yesterday discussed, we were thinking to say, maybe instead of saying appropriate, is to say after the words where possible, that is in line 11, 12, 13, to say where possible and taking into account the custom of the particular community or communities. Because appropriate is maybe a little bit vague.
Yeah.
When you say take into account the customs, because honorable members were saying yesterday, you can't say the very person to
another.
So that's what
we want to say. Accommodating sensitivity on custom, some traditions there, I think would be very helpful. Very rare that they are going to apply, at least they must be comfortable that we are taking care, very sensitive of the issue. This is a national thing, it won't happen in urban area, but in rural areas it will happen.
Yeah.
And then I think they must be sensitive of that. B, 7B, page 14. Let us move the Roman figure 1 and 2.
This is actually, Chair, remember when SEPS, all of my members who were there when SEPS presented, they were raising this issue in their presentation to say, the bill is not saying when you close the school what was happening to the mission.
Yeah.
And then, oh, you were not there that particular day. Honorable Masonu was there, and I referred them to the school to say, no, we covered it.
Can we move at 8? PICC
Can I be reminded, is anywhere in the bid where it says that the initiative before they go, they do not get certification?
Yeah.
Because this one talks on
the medical certificate. Yeah.
Or are going to it right now?
28.
Can we move? Sub 8. Sub 8, 3, D, 4, 5, 6. Sub 9, for the purposes of subsection. Sub 10, A. Sub 15, then. Roman figure 1, 2, 3, 4. B, the PICC, maintenance, the format. Sub 11, if any of the persons refer to me. Sub B,
if you go back to the functions clause of the PICC, they must make sure that the area is conducive to initiation practices.
Let us move.
Let's go.
Determine the number of initiation schools to be allowed within a particular municipal area in the province, taking into account criteria as may be determined by PICC, including the proximity of the school to one another, the number of available traditional students in the municipal area, the availability of sufficient and appropriate space and length, the provisioning of proper habitual structure conducive for initiation practices, and the provision of municipal services
at such initiation school. But
it doesn't describe the actual physical structure as to
there's more
what kind of structure.
There's more for
the structure.
But because they use branches of the...
But some of the structures are temporary
yeah.
In that area. That's why in the Western Cape they're saying they don't have mountains or forests now. They need permanent structures created for them. Because otherwise it's very difficult for them.
But then the act must be explicit on that point, because
there will be due to the PIC, then others way to look at that situation. Then they will
specify what. Chair, when we go later into the bill, there are further clauses that talk specifically about water sanitation. It's still coming.
Yeah. Let us move to clause 16, page 14. That's supporting department, really, there.
Yeah.
And then move on, page 15. Continuation. PIC, that is part B.
Can I ask a question, Chair?
Yes.
Quick question. The one is relating to the proposed restructuring of all the chapter 9 into one super human rights body. Whether that applies to as well as the proposed discussion of or re-examination of government departments in general and ministries. And so I'm wondering if that has any relevance at all in terms of the specificity. We're asking for women, and they may not be a woman.
Okay.
And CRL may become part of some giant human rights body.
No, of course, if we do take that decision, Nyambo says department that we choose from 35 to 10,
20.
And then some of the department will be by match, section, what is the chapter 9? All of you anyway, some of you are going to be matched with human rights sometimes and this and this. It wouldn't have an impact in terms of the bill that we are talking now. Yeah, of course, if this thing happens before the bill becomes law, of course we have to change it accordingly. After that, we may have to amend it a little bit to ensure that it's in line with the new reconfiguration of the state. It may take longer.
In fact, Jay, from a drafting perspective, because we are aware of this from experience over many years, how things change, like in part of claims, where possible, we actually did not refer, for example, to a provincial provincial department for health.
Yeah.
We say the provincial department responsible for health.
Yeah.
So whoever it is in future.
Let us move on. Those are structures there. Mm-hmm. Justice, Department of Justice remains there forever. Very rare. Department of Health will remain. Social Development will remain. Home Affairs will remain. Others may change. Let's move to administrative and financial support, almost similar situation.
Yeah.
At the PICC.
Exactly.
Role players, chapter 3, 18. Any new issue that was discussed yesterday, advocate? We are on track. That must be you are happy.
Yes.
You are happy with what? No. That must be. I must always take care of you. I don't. You mustn't feel that these AC people are just for dosing me. When we debate in the chamber, say that there was that for dose. Then I must take care of you.
I'll
take care of you. Let us move to House of Traditional Leaders, 19, page 16. Look at that one. I think Stolle will work on it with traditional leaders. They were very happy with it. Because you're almost defining their role.
Yeah. And they remain overall.
And then they are responsibility of that. Okay. If there is no use to the RSS Club to the National House, after conversation, provincial houses, where they exist, then this will happen. Let's take 12, 20, traditional leaders there, traditional leaders are overall responsible. Where they, of course, other areas will be not traditional leaders. Missionary areas generally didn't have traditional leaders. Township also won't have, but where they are responsible for it. And it means that if in course I was told that people die there, would arrest you. Well, we can't be responsible. Anyway, I'm not close to our battalion. I just like our workers. Some they think that they're not paid, they're paid by us. They're employed, they're employees. That's why also they fight for increase. Yeah. That's what you should do. That's why also they complain about salary.
No, they are public office bearers.
They are public office bearers.
Mm.
No, they are not members, they are not elected by anyone. Public office bearers are those who are elected. I'm not calling it Zambua Kava, not say a Chabu.
So you are massaging them.
You are massaging them. We know that the masses in 20 years' time, then German post will be gone. So we know German post is there. So we say Alexander, I couldn't say anything. I'm very happy that they are learned now. They are from 7 Alexander. The Zulu king will be looking for a job in 3 years' time. Looking for a job. When Yama Trust is changed, people are giving title deeds, can't tell it. Once people are giving title deeds, what's the use of Nkosi? Won't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That Nkosi will just go and look for a job and get time. And then Nkosi Tovich, and he knows about that.
That is why Nkosi was. Yeah.
Let us move to the national leader frustration. Clause 20 there, page 16. Let's move to 17, page 17. Sorry. I propose that at 1 we break for lunch. You must not waste even a minute.
Thought you were referring to sub-clause.
Sub-clause, in traditional leaders, contemplation. We are happy with that. Let's go to A, B, C, D. Those are specific areas that we have agreed on.
Yeah.
And then let us deal, Roman figure 1 is register, meet the requirement, is suitable to perform the duties of the legislature. And then let us go to 3. Sub A, any traditional leader is unable to perform such functions. And then B, C, D. We'll then deal with traditional, the principles and caregivers. Let us have a break now.
Yes.
Let's have a break now. Have some tools.
Yeah.
Little bit relaxed. I am hammer, of course. I am hammer, of course.